Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, World Politics, Interests, Interactions, Institutions by Jeffrey A. Frieden, introduces international relations through a clear organizing idea, global outcomes arise from what actors want, how they engage one another, and the rules and organizations that shape their choices. Rather than treating world politics as a set of isolated events, the book connects enduring theories to contemporary challenges, helping readers see patterns behind headlines. Frieden emphasizes how domestic politics and economic incentives intersect with security concerns, explaining why governments pursue certain foreign policies and why cooperation can be so difficult to sustain. The approach highlights strategic interaction among states and other players, showing how bargaining, credibility, and power affect diplomacy, conflict, and trade. Institutions are presented as both constraints and tools, influencing everything from alliances and international law to global finance and climate negotiations. Written for students and general readers, the book aims to make major debates in international relations practical and understandable, while keeping a close eye on real-world policy choices and their consequences. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, interests as the starting point of world politics. A central theme is that international politics begins with interests, the goals and priorities that states, leaders, parties, firms, and social groups seek to advance. The book frames foreign policy not as a single national preference, but as an outcome of domestic competition among groups that gain or lose from different international choices. Security interests may push leaders toward deterrence, alliances, or military investment, while economic interests shape positions on trade, investment, sanctions, migration, and monetary policy. By keeping the focus on who benefits, who pays, and who has political influence, the reader can better understand why countries with similar power or geography still behave differently. This perspective also clarifies why policy can shift after elections, economic shocks, or social change. It encourages analyzing not only what a country wants abroad, but what coalitions at home make certain strategies feasible. The interest-based lens helps interpret recurring puzzles such as why some governments embrace globalization while others resist it, why disputes persist even when cooperation seems mutually beneficial, and why leaders sometimes take risky actions that appear irrational until domestic incentives are considered. Secondly, interactions, strategy, bargaining, and the logic of conflict and cooperation. The book emphasizes that outcomes depend on interaction, meaning the strategic back and forth among actors who anticipate each other's moves. This approach highlights bargaining problems that can lead to conflict even when war is costly, such as uncertainty about capabilities, hidden intentions, and credibility challenges. It also explains how commitments can be hard to make in an anarchic international system where no central authority enforces promises. Readers are guided to think in terms of strategic choices, threats, reassurance, signaling, and the trade-offs between escalation and compromise. The same logic applies to cooperation, where repeated interactions, reciprocity, and mutual monitoring can help actors coordinate and avoid cheating. By focusing on interaction, the book connects theory to practical diplomatic dilemmas: how to design deterrence without provoking, how to negotiate when information is incomplete, and how to manage crises where misperception can spiral. The emphasis on interaction also makes room for non-state actors and domestic audiences, showing how leaders bargain simultaneously at home and abroad. The result is a framework for analyzing why some disputes stabilize while others intensify, and why negotiated settlements require more than shared interests. They require workable strategies under constraints. Thirdly, institutions, rules, organizations, and the politics of enforcement. Institutions occupy a central role as the structures that shape incentives, provide information, and create expectations about behavior. The book treats institutions broadly, including formal organizations, treaties, legal principles, and informal norms. Institutions matter because they can lower transaction costs, facilitate monitoring, and help states make credible commitments by raising the costs of defection. Yet they are not neutral. Their design reflects bargaining power and distributional conflict, and they can advantage some actors while constraining others. This perspective helps readers evaluate why states create institutions in the first place, why they sometimes comply even without a world government, and why they sometimes undermine or exit arrangements. Institutions also become arenas for competition, where actors fight over rules, voting power, dispute settlement, and enforcement. The book's framework encourages looking at how institutional details shape real outcomes, such as the strength of verification mechanisms, the scope of obligations, and the flexibility of escape clauses. It also clarifies why legitimacy and credibility matter. Institutions can work better when they are perceived as fair and when powerful actors are willing to invest in enforcement. Understanding institutions allows readers to analyze contemporary debates over multilateralism, sovereignty, and reform of global governance. Fourthly, the political economy of trade, finance, and globalization. A distinguishing feature of the book is its integration of international political economy with core security and diplomatic issues. It explores how international markets and cross-border economic ties shape foreign policy choices and domestic political conflict. The reader is prompted to examine how trade openness creates winners and losers within countries, influencing lobbying, party competition, and public attitudes. Financial globalization adds another layer. Capital mobility, exchange rate regimes, and debt can constrain governments and create vulnerabilities that spill into international relations. The book's approach helps explain why states cooperate on economic rules, why they impose sanctions, and why economic interdependence can both reduce and heighten tensions. Economic tools can serve strategic ends, from using market access as leverage to weaponizing finance, but these tools also generate blowback when domestic interests depend on stable international ties. By linking economic incentives to institutional arrangements, the analysis shows how agreements, standards, and dispute settlement affect distribution and credibility. This topic equips readers to interpret controversies around supply chains, trade wars, currency disputes, and development strategies, emphasizing that globalization is not just economics, it is a political process shaped by power, bargaining, and institutional choices. Lastly, applying the framework to contemporary challenges and policy choices, the Interests, Interactions, Institutions framework is designed to travel across issues, helping readers analyze contemporary problems without relying on simplistic explanations. Whether the subject is great power rivalry, alliance management, humanitarian intervention, nuclear proliferation, climate cooperation, or migration, the same core questions apply: whose interests are at stake, how do actors strategically interact, and what institutional setting shapes incentives and enforcement. This topic underscores how to move from description to explanation by identifying the relevant players, mapping payoffs, and anticipating strategic responses to policy initiatives. It also encourages weighing trade-offs between unilateral action and multilateral coordination, and between short-term gains and long-term stability. The framework highlights that policies succeed or fail not only because of material power, but because of credibility, information, and domestic constraints. Readers learn to assess proposals such as sanctions, peace agreements, security guarantees, and international regulatory regimes by asking what compliance mechanisms exist, how side payments might be structured, and what domestic coalitions could sustain an agreement. The benefit is practical. It offers a disciplined way to evaluate news events, forecast likely reactions, and understand why some diplomatic openings endure while others collapse. In conclusion, this book is best suited for undergraduate students in international relations and political science, policy-minded readers who want a structured way to interpret global events, and professionals who need a clearer framework for analyzing cross-border problems. It benefits readers by turning world politics into an intelligible set of tools, identify interests, model strategic interaction, and evaluate how institutions shape choices and outcomes. That mindset improves decision-making in everyday civic life as well, from understanding why governments argue over trade or security to recognizing how domestic politics influences foreign commitments. The book is worth buying compared with many introductory texts because it integrates political economy with security questions rather than treating them as separate worlds, and it consistently connects theory to policy-relevant reasoning. Its organizing framework is simple enough to remember yet flexible enough to apply to new issues, which makes it more useful than books that rely mainly on historical narrative or on a single grand theory. Readers come away better equipped to analyze crises, negotiate competing claims, and understand how cooperation can be built or lost in a complex international system. If you would like to support Jeffrey A. Frieden, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.